It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. Ending impeachment.
This trial is all but over, and everybody knows it.
That is our top story at noon. The sizz will come later today in the U.S. Senate. The president could be acquitted tonight or perhaps tomorrow. The Iowa caucuses will take place Monday night. President Trump in the Hawkeye State last night, stealing the spotlight from Democrats who want his job.
This election is a choice between American freedom and democratic socialism.
Political watchdogs say this year's Iowa caucuses are the most unpredictable in recent memory. Alicia Gaiman is with the Scott County Democratic Party.
One of the things that's starkly different this race is that people are undecided still.
A recent poll show more than half of Iowa's Democratic voters are still undecided on a candidate with just days to go before they caucus in Iowa. The U.S. has its first case of coronavirus transmitted from person to person. Happened in Chicago. A total of 6 people are infected in the U.S. China, meantime, reporting over 9,800 cases and 213 deaths. Yesterday, the World Health Organization declared the coronavirus a global emergency.
One of the main concerns of the WHO is for countries that do not have as robust a healthcare system as in the United States, and this allows them to provide them more resources.
Dr. John LaPook is a professor of medicine at New York University Medical Center. East Africa's food supply is being threatened by the worst locust crisis in decades there. Reporter Deborah Pata has more from Johannesburg.
One was spotted in a part of Kenya that contained about 200 billion of these creatures, and in the sky it occupied a space 3 times the size of New York City. Even a small swarm of locusts can consume enough food for 35,000 people, and farmers are complaining that about 90% of their crops have already been destroyed.
That's Deborah Pata reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Brexit is here at 6 o'clock tonight Eastern Standard Time. The United Kingdom will officially leave the European Union. Correspondent Vicky Barker is in London.
The pro-Brexit forces plan a big evening celebration outside Britain's parliament in the hours leading up to Brexit. Government buildings nearby will be lit up in the red, white, and blue of the British flag, and the prime ministerial residence at Downing Street will be illuminated with a Brexit-themed light display to mark the moment Britain leaves the European Union.
Vicky Barker reporting tonight's change was set in motion back in 2016 when Britons voted 52-48% to leave the 28-nation European Union. For the first time since the death of their former superstar Kobe Bryant, the Los Angeles Lakers will be in action tonight at Staples Center. It's where Kobe had some of his greatest moments.
81-point game!
Head coach Frank Vogel says tonight will be emotional.
There's no doubt it will be therapeutic. Help with the process of us moving forward.
Outside Staples Center, meantime,
I am going through a grief process, I must admit that.
Makeshift memorials of candles, flowers, and heartfelt notes continue to grow. Football fans gearing up for Super Bowl 54 this weekend in Miami. The Kansas City Chiefs will duke it out against the San Francisco 49ers, Hard Rock Stadium. They're going to close out the NFL's 100th season. Still to come this Friday on the Noon Report, a war zone in Harrisburg, bankrupt Catholics in Buffalo, and pizza shops getting ready.
Good afternoon. All weekend is here, promising a lot of clouds, but just a little snow. Forecast details are coming up in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, we appreciate it. Checking out the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, last day of January, Friday, January 31st. Police in Rochester, New York say a 9-year-old girl suffered a concussion after being shoved to the ground on a school bus by the driver. The little girl's mother says her daughter had head trauma and bruising. Authorities say the incident took place earlier this month while the bus was on its way to School 52 in Rochester. The bus driver, 26-year-old Jennifer Denningle, has been charged with third-degree assault. Paroled from prison, Family Life's Brandon Dixon has the very latest on a high-profile case out of Corning, New York.
Carrie Nyreiter, who pleaded guilty to second-degree manslaughter and her mother's murder in August of 2017, has been released from state prison. She had been given a sentence of 1 to 3 years behind bars back in late 2018. Her father, Lloyd Nyreiter, said he had psychologically manipulated his daughter for years and even threatened to kill himself if Carrie did not assist him in the killing of Michelle Nyreiter. Lloyd Nyreiter is currently serving a sentence of life without parole and his ex-wife's killing. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Okay, Brandon, an uptick in violence has community leaders in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, sounding the alarm.
This is a war. This is no longer just, you know, some violence going. This is a war.
Barry Coleman is on the front lines of that war in Harrisburg. He says he's trying to rescue kids from a life he knows all too well.
They can't tell me I don't know, because I've been there, I sat there. When they become teenagers, a lot of them go to the streets looking for hope, to find out that it's hopeless.
And Coleman knows what it feels like to be hopeless. He spent 14 years in and out of prison before turning his life around. Coleman was once the problem. Now he's the solution, and he's not fighting alone. Lamont Jones is with Sound Community Solutions in Harrisburg. He's working to get more recreation centers open where kids can go to get off the streets.
For anyone else to help us, we have to do that ourselves. Just let them know that you care. I think that's important, because it seems like our children believe that we failed at something, that we don't care.
A lot of our children are not being loved. They don't, you know, some kids, you tell you love them, they never heard it before.
Barry Coleman says loving kids sometimes means making tough decisions.
And I'm a prime example of that, because I turned my son in. I'd rather see him in a paddy wagon than in a hearse.
The police in Harrisburg are now investigating 3 shootings over the past 24 hours in the capital city. One took the life of a 21-year-old former high school homecoming king. Former Broome County District Attorney Steve Cornwell announcing today he is ending his bid for New York's 22nd congressional seat. And instead, he's running for Broome County Family Court Judge. Cornwell faced a stiff challenge in the Republican primary for that congressional seat from former Representative Claudia Tenney. Tenney hopes to unseat Democratic incumbent Anthony Brindisi in November. In a statement released today, Steve Cornwell says he can best serve the people of Broome County, New York, as the next family court judge there. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf is looking for experts in the field of trauma and mental health to form a think tank. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
As a companion to the state's multi-agency effort and anti-stigma campaign, Reach Out PA, Your Mental Health Matters, the governor is looking for a group of cutting-edge thinkers and practitioners in the field of trauma and how the brain heals from its effects. The volunteer group will focus exclusively on setting guidelines and benchmarks for trauma-informed care across the state. Resumes and interviews will be required to apply.
That's Terry Diener reporting from our Pennsylvania newsroom this afternoon. The Catholic Diocese of Buffalo is on the brink of bankruptcy. The barrage of lawsuits from the clergy sex abuse scandal. The big reason why.
Buffalo has said that they've got something like $29 million in liquid assets. These cases, if you added them all up, would total 9 figures. So they don't have enough money to resolve all of these cases.
That's local attorney Steve Boyd. He says the scandal is draining priests and money away from the Catholic Church in Western New York.
Everyone who has filed a case goes from being a plaintiff to a creditor. And everyone who has not filed a case will be given a deadline to bring a creditor claim in the bankruptcy court.
The diocese in Buffalo now poised to join the Catholic Church in Rochester to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection as hundreds of alleged victims of clergy abuse now come forward with their claims. Two New York lawmakers want to know why so many people are leaving the Empire State. That is the million-dollar question. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, Republican Senator Jim Todisco and Democratic Assemblyman Angelo Santabarbara are putting together an online questionnaire. They'll also be hosting roundtable discussions across the state. New York is losing its population at a faster rate than any other state in America. Last year, 77,000 people headed for the exits. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Philadelphia, known as the City of Brotherly Love, has changed its nickname in honor of the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. The city's honorary nickname will now be the City of Sisterly Love until the end of this year. Lawmakers in Philadelphia passed the ceremonial name change yesterday. The 19th Amendment granted women the right to vote in this country 100 years ago. Local restaurants are gearing up for Super Bowl Sunday, the biggest day of the year for football and food.
Super Bowl is one of the biggest sporting events of the year. We're going to be ready for it. It's going to be a lot of pizza, a lot of wings. We'll probably do like more than triple the business.
That's Doug Matruski with Pizza on the Plaza in Johnson City, New York. He says his phone will start ringing off the hook tomorrow.
The calls will start coming in early on Saturday, and everybody wants their pizza and wings before the game. And after the game starts, the phone stops ringing.
Well, last year we did just over 9,500 wings.
That's a lot of chicken wings. Andy Kemp at the Old Union Hotel in Binghamton says they use the uptick in business on Super Bowl Sunday to help support their community.
5% of all sales on Sunday will go to First Ward Charities, awesome, which goes to help the community.
In fact, a lot of eateries all across our listening area will be donating a portion of their proceeds on Sunday to help out those in need. More on the big game. It is sunny time. It's called your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, it's Super Bowl weekend. 49ers finalizing their game plan for Super Bowl 54. Head coach Kyle Shanahan says the extra week off helped.
It's awesome. I wish the players could have 2 weeks every week to do a game plan. You feel a lot better. I think it takes a little bit of the pressure off the guys because they've had plenty of time to study.
The Niners trying to win their record-tying 6th Super Bowl. Kansas City making just their 3rd Super Bowl appearance, their first in 50 years. And head coach Andy Reid says everyone in Kansas City is fired up.
An exciting game, I think, for the fans. Two good teams playing each other. I know Kansas City is on fire right now with excitement.
By the way, Kansas City has beaten San Fran 3 of their last 4 times. Major League Baseball, Dusty Baker back as a manager, this time of the Houston Astros, at 70 years old.
I discussed it with my wife and discussed it really with my family. And they said, Dad, you know, you got to make yourself happy. And they know that what makes me happy is competition and the quest for, you know, for winning.
The 3-time National League Manager of the Year also coached the Giants, Cubs, and Reds. To the Australian Open, Dominic Thiem dropped the first set, rallied to win in 4 sets over Alexander Zverev. He'll take on number 2 seed Novak Djokovic for the championship. Big task.
He's the king of Australia, won 7 titles here, I think, more than any other man. So I'm always facing the kings of this certain Grand Slam in a final.
The women's final has 2-time major champion Garbina Muguruza of Spain taking on 14th-seeded Sophia Kennan of the USA. To the ice, started well in Buffalo. Michael giving the Sabres a 1-0 lead, but they fall to Montreal 3-1. New Jersey falls in a shootout to Nashville 6-5. In the NBA, the Raptors beat the Cavaliers 115-109. Sixers fall to Atlanta 127-117. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
All right, Sonny, great job as usual. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, the boys are back. Capital Connection on the way. Another busy week from Albany and Harrisburg. The boys will break it all down. Plus, Groundhog Day and Super Bowl Sunday. A woodchuck makes her predictions.
In just a few months, we will honor a man who has aided his Chinese brothers and sisters in Christ who have consistently faced savage persecution. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. You may have noticed that over the last couple years, China has become a more frequent topic in the news and on Breakpoint commentaries. The reason is simple. It's increasingly horrible treatment of Christians and other religious minorities. In light of these devolving conditions for our brothers and sisters in Christ in China, this year's Wilberforce Award winner is particularly fitting. Pastor Bob Fu is founder and president of China Aid, a Christian human rights organization that's committed to promoting religious freedom and the rule of law in China. It does this by exposing the systematic persecution, harassment, torture, and imprisonment of Chinese Christians and of human rights lawyers in China. China Aid also financially supports Chinese Christians and their families who have experienced persecution by the Chinese government and provides leadership and rule of law training for Christians and church leaders in China to defend their rights. Now, if the biblical phrase "for such a time as this" comes to your mind too, it should. Bob Fu never intended that this would be his life. Born in Shandong Province to a disabled father and a beggar mother, he enrolled in university, fully intending to join the Communist Party and to become a government official. God, however, had other plans. An American professor gave him a biography of a Chinese intellectual who had converted to Christianity. As Fu told the Wall Street Journal, "That book changed my life." After graduation, Fu taught English at a Communist Party school in Beijing, while he and his wife Heidi became active in the house church movement. They even established a Bible school, which used chairs that he borrowed from the Communist Party school. Well, the Communist Party didn't quite share Fu's sense of irony. He and his wife were jailed. About a year after their release, Heidi became pregnant. It was their second child. Because the one-child policy was still being vigorously enforced in China, they immigrated to Hong Kong, which at the time was still under British rule. Fu was granted political asylum by the Clinton administration in 1997. Just as the persecution of the church has, at times throughout history, led to the unintended spreading of the gospel, Pastor Fu's forced immigration has only increased his impact. From his base of operations in Texas, he operates what the Wall Street Journal has called, quote, "the most influential network of human rights activists, underground Christians, and freedom fighters in China." Now, some of what Fu and China Aid have accomplished is the stuff of movies. In 2009, Fu and his allies in China helped smuggle the wife and children of Christian human rights lawyer Gao Jiangxing, whom Amnesty International has called the bravest lawyer in China, out of the country. And more recently, Fu worked closely with another human rights lawyer, Sheng Gonsheng, a.k.a. the Barefoot Lawyer, whose harrowing escape from China was the topic of a Breakpoint commentary just a few years ago. All of this has earned Fu a fitting nickname, the Pastor of China's Underground Railroad. And for all these reasons and more, the Colson Center for Christian Worldview is pleased to announce that the 2020 William Wilberforce Award will be given to Pastor Bob Fu, a man who truly lives out his faith without fear, in truth, and in love. Join us this May 14th to 17th, just across the river from Washington, D.C., for this year's Wilberforce Weekend. We'll honor Bob Fu and also hear from Christian thought leaders like Oz Guinness, Lee Strobel, Andy Crouch, Obianoju Ekeocha, Max McLean, and more. Come to WilberforceWeekend.org for more information and to register. That's WilberforceWeekend.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour this Friday afternoon. The weekend is here. So, too, is meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Big weekend coming up. We got a big game on Sunday, and that little furry woodchuck going to look to see if he sees a shadow on Sunday as well. But weather-wise, it won't be a big weekend. For a storm moving up and off the East Coast, still looks likely to miss us well to the east, targeting Nova Scotia, but leaving us relatively unscathed. Weaker systems, though, will bring us a little light snow. The call for this afternoon, generally cloudy. A few flurries in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, high in the 30s. Cloudy tonight, touch of light snow and flurries, and a few places will pick up a dusting to an inch, the low in the 20s. Rather cloudy, chance of a flurry tomorrow in the 30s. And sunny's rather cloudy, a touch of light snow and flurries, and high temperatures in the 30s and lower 40s.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams getting it done at the Weather Center this afternoon. We appreciate it. You are plugged into the Noon Report, a Friday edition on Family Life. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, let's begin with you. Governor Wolf delivering that big budget speech next Tuesday. Kind of a wonkish type of a speech. I don't want to get lost in the weeds on the details, but what are some of the issues that you're going to be watching for as he addresses the General Assembly next week?
Well, as a friend of mine described it, it's kind of like Groundhog Day again. He's asking for a lot of the same things that he has consistently asked for and that the Republican-led legislature has not given to him, you know, whether he's pushing for taxes on shale exploration and the Marcellus shale natural gas. One of the things to be watching, though, is the governor's going to be asking for $1 billion in borrowing to deal with abatement of asbestos and lead in paint, especially in the Philadelphia schools. That's money that has to be paid back, but it makes you wonder, what have they done with the money that's already been spent in Philadelphia to try to deal with this problem? What has happened with that money in the past? Yeah. Philadelphia's budget has increased 25% over the last few years, and yet we see wasteful spending there. Do we need to go down that path again?
Yeah, speaking of borrowed money, Jason, nothing's free in this world, and Medicaid's not free either. Somebody's paying for that, and those costs are being substantially loaded onto the backs of the local counties in this state. The governor went so far as to say that the costs are unsustainable. How worried should local counties be this year?
Well, very. Governor Cuomo is facing a $6.1 billion deficit, and largely being caused by increases in Medicaid and largely being caused by legislative proposals that he has signed into law. But as a result of that, he is now looking to pass those costs on to local governments. Looking at New York City, which I know, you know, this station represents a lot of upstate networks, but just to be able to put this in perspective, New York City's Medicaid costs would increase by over $1 billion if this is given back to localities. Mm-hmm. And you can just imagine what that dollar amount would be for counties across the state of New York, what it would do to their budgets. So I think local government should be very concerned about the governor's proposal.
I have a feeling that's going to be one of the sticky wickets when it comes to the final budget negotiations as they race the clock there in Albany. Michael, last year, Governor Wolf signed what he called the most significant election reforms in the Commonwealth in 80 years. What will that look like at the ballot box for voters this year?
Well, it is significant, and among the changes, it puts Pennsylvania into the early voting category, allowing for mail-in ballots to go in weeks before the actual primary and general elections. And so in the past, you had to vote on election day unless you got an absentee ballot. Now every voter will be allowed to do these mail-in ballots. Also changes some of the absentee voting rules, and straight party voting has been eliminated. It used to be when you go into the voting booth, you could push a button or check a box that would allow you to vote for all Republicans or all Democrats. That button or checkbox is going to be taken away this time.
Yeah, and I see even this week they've made some more changes, but we'll get to that at a later time because that doesn't affect us the here and now. Jason, New York taxpayers, a lot of pro-lifers are upset over this new fund that exists solely that tax. When you do your taxes, you're able to contribute to this fund that solely exists to pay for abortions. Why is this necessary?
Well, it's not necessary, and this is just a proposed fund. So this is not something that is done yet. It's something we are blocking in Albany right now. And essentially, it would allow a tax checkoff box on your tax return that would allow you to donate to essentially Planned Parenthood to pay for abortions for the poor, for undocumented, for minors, for those types of things. We're opposed to that. We're continuing to block it, and we're praying for great success on that front this session.
Yeah, many people would say those for low-income New Yorkers, that's already paid for anyway, so why do you need another fund for that? Michael, one of the most prominent conservative voices in Pennsylvania politics in a long time, called it a career last week. Talk about the legacy of House Speaker Terzai
and how big of a hole he leaves in Harrisburg.
Yeah, Speaker Mike Terzak has been a friend to me and to the Pennsylvania Family Institute. As a matter of fact, he was at the March for Life this past Friday, something that he's regularly attended. He's been a stalwart proponent of the sanctity of life as a legislator from his earliest days, coming in as a rank-and-file legislator all the way to Speaker. But he's been a leader on many other conservative issues, including fighting Governor Wolf and, in the past, Governor Rendell and others on tax increases, on the Marcellus Shale tax that Governor Wolf has pushed so hard. A number of other issues where he has been a leader, but we're going to miss him most, especially on school choice and on the pro-life issue.
Yeah. Jason, not a day goes by I don't see another petition drive or a press conference that just rails on this bail reform law. Now we're seeing that there's a push to, if you're over 55, you can get out, because apparently if you're over 55, you don't commit crimes. It's just ridiculous. Is this really a public safety crisis, as a lot of people are saying? And how damaging is it to the Democratic majority if they don't do something to amend this law?
So to the first question, I think it is a public safety crisis. I mean, you essentially have people that are robbing banks. One man robbed a bank, you know, and committed crimes for, you know, 3-4 days before he was eventually committing a crime that could keep him in prison. There are multiple crimes like that. And while people will say these are nonviolent crimes, there are certain classifications of this that are violent. And in its core, so many of these crimes have a violent component to them. So we are concerned about this. And so should suburban Democrats coming into November. That's where they're going to feel the pinch on this. In Long Island, you're going to see this. Perhaps even in Westchester and places like that. Upstate, a lot of Democrats are running scared because they know this is going to be an issue that awakes a silent majority. And the polling is starting to reflect that, as support for the so-called criminal justice reforms that came under the bail reform is plummeting. Democrats are a tough bind. They've got to do something if they want to be successful in November in these swing districts. But at the same time, their far left base wants no changes to what they did last year.
All right, we'll see how serious they are about compromise on that one. Let's spend the last couple minutes, guys, talking about the big game, the Super Bowl, and some of the side notes to it. It's the most watched sporting event of the year. Both of you guys are huge football fans. Should be an exciting contest Sunday. But when it comes to the commercials, Michael, you say there's a double standard here. There is a commercial this year that's featuring a drag queen, really in support of the LGBTQ agenda, but a commercial that really gets to the heart of the pro-life movement didn't make the final cut. Explain that double standard, if you would.
Yeah, advertising at the Super Bowl has the potential to reach over 100 million people, which is why those ads are coveted and very expensive. And the group Faces of Choice Leaders, which is a pro-life organization, has a wonderful ad that they showed at the March for Life that they wanted to show at the Super Bowl that depicts and has quotes and statements from survivors of abortion. And it's a compelling ad, and yet Fox Sports has declined to let them air that. And yet we have this hummus ad from the hummus producers. It features drag queens, including RuPaul, more sort of normalizing this deviant behavior to, again, an audience of about 100 million. It's tragic that Fox Sports is making this decision.
Yeah, if you want to see the Faces of Choice ad, Life News has it on their website. Really encourage you to go and watch that. And Jason, we all know Super Bowl Sunday is, unfortunately, one of the single worst day of the year when it comes to trafficking. This industry just grows by leaps and bounds. Talk about why it is so susceptible to happen more on that day, and what we can do to stop it.
Well, I think on Super Bowl Sunday, you often have a lot of people traveling. And oftentimes when you travel, you would do things that you may not do necessarily at home. You have an instance last year around the Super Bowl that occurred in 2019, where there were 169 people arrested in a sting that occurred around sex trafficking in the 11 days surrounding the Super Bowl in one city. That's 169 arrests in 11 days in one city. You can only imagine what's going on in small towns and large cities all across America. Hmm. Human trafficking, sex trafficking is something that is happening everywhere, and it's happening right under our noses. We need to wake up on this issue.
All right, and that will be the last word this week. But if you have more questions about the great work Michael Geer does at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, where can they find you, sir?
PAFamily.org.
And Legislative Day fast approaching in Albany. Get in on the action. Jason, where can folks go to register?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
They get it done each and every week. It's called Capital Connection. Comes your way every Friday during the noon report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Big weekend coming up. We got a big game on Sunday, and that little furry woodchuck going to look to see if he sees a shadow on Sunday as well. But weather-wise, it won't be a big weekend. For a storm moving up and off the East Coast, still looks likely to miss us well to the east, targeting Nova Scotia, but leaving us relatively unscathed. Weaker systems, though, will bring us a little light snow. The call for this afternoon, generally cloudy. A few flurries in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, high in the 30s. Cloudy tonight, touch of light snow and flurries, and a few places will pick up a dusting to an inch, the low in the 20s. Rather cloudy, chance of a flurry tomorrow in the 30s. And sunny's rather cloudy, a touch of light snow and flurries, and high temperatures in the 30s and lower 40s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, have yourself a fantastic weekend. Finally, this Friday, while groundhogs across the country get ready to make their weather predictions on Sunday, one critter from Michigan putting her odds on the Super Bowl. Woody, the woodchuck, chose between two paper mache footballs with the team's logos, and she nudged the Chiefs football not once, but four times.
You know, women absolutely love sports as well, and that it is probably her women's intuition that shows the Kansas City Chiefs.
Handler Marie Sklad says Woody has correctly predicted the weather 15 out of 20 times. So, she might just know a thing or two about football.
Woody will stand the test of time. And she chose the Kansas City Chiefs.
We will see. Enjoy the big game, everyone. That is the world we live in for your Friday. As always, thanks for coming along. And have a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.